Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast. That's something that if you do that and stand fast, even if you start out a wild-eyed left-wing liberal, if you stay in one place, you'll, if you live long enough, be a rock-ribbed conservative because everybody is sliding off to the left. So if you stand fast, you become more and more to the right. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Now, it's important that we remember chapter 5, verse 1, as we were perhaps struggling in Galatians chapter 4 with the bondwoman and the free woman and all of that allegory, because the direction in which this is going is to get them to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. It's, of course, important to remember as we went through the Galatians 4 has got problems. It's a difficult chapter. As we went through that, to remember that Paul is illustrating truth to somebody else, to people who were circumcised believers of the Old Testament program, and then they are saved by Paul's revelation of ministry. Stand therefore fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I don't have to be entangled with it to know thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Mm-hmm. Paul here is not recommending that you go rob a bank. Paul here is not promoting antinomianism, although some of the grace movement does. Standing fast in liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and being not entangled again. Where my entanglement would be if I tied my salvation to it, if I tied my service to law keeping, I would be then entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I point out, and it served me well, it may not serve you at all, I point out that Paul's litmus test for knowing these people had gone over the rainbow to see Dorothy and Toto was their regard of one day over another in holidays and holy days. That's where he draws a line in Galatians chapter 4, verses 9, 10, and 11, that I think I've wasted my time with you because you're keeping holy days and Sabbaths and the rest of that business. I see it in modern-day Christianity all the time. And people are already getting ready for one of the high holy days. Super Bowl Sunday, no. one of the high holy days, which will be regard of St. Valentine's. And, you know, we're regarding one day over another rather than being crucified with Christ and esteeming every day alike. Paul uses that as a litmus test. Now, I gave you in your notes some other renderings of Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and see the trouble you get into. First, I gave you William Tyndale in 1526, which is a precursor to the King James Bible. And, of course, the language is slightly different, stand instead of stand, and, you know, fast, therefore, in ye liberty, wherewith Christ hath made us free, and wrap not yourselves again in a yoke of bondage. The American Standard of 1901, which is based on Westcott Hort, 1881, says, for freedom did Christ set us free. That's kind of a odd phrase, isn't it? Mm-hmm. For freedom did Christ set us free. When I read that in the New American Standard, the American Standard, I'm reminded of John MacArthur, who says, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ had nothing to do with bleeding.
Yeah, what he said.
Kind of hurts my head, you know, when people talk like that.
Yeah.
For freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. New American Standard, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Wherefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to, the yoke of slavery. Why do we have the word slavery? New International Version, by yoke of slavery. Obviously, slavery is what was called in the 1600s America's peculiar institution. And obviously, that is a major part of this country's history to this day. But it's not interchangeable with Moses' law program.
Amen.
So you can have people say, yeah, I'm against that. Don't get tangled up. Slavery then turns the head toward a different issue entirely.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you attack that while tithing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You see?
Yeah.
How sly?
Yeah.
So no one's endorsing slavery. No one's saying it shouldn't be stigmatized, but that's not the issue. The yoke of bondage is not slavery. And may I remind you that we're all servants of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
You've been told how many times the word behind servant is doulos, which is bond slave. So I get to serve him.
Yes.
Where's my life? Nailed to a cross.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now it's his life. So he's my master.
Amen.
Then putting slavery in the New American Standard, New International Version, not only is it a bit disingenuous, but it is misdirection. You lose where the focus is supposed to be of going back under the law. What's the whole point of the book been up to this point? Don't go back under the law.
Mm-hmm.
So now you introduce this topic in the best-selling translation in America, the New International,
yeah,
the most preferred by the pedantic, the scholars, the New American Standard. You introduce the wrong issue. Wonder how that happens. Well, you go back to Vaticanus and I find it.
Yeah.
It might happen because you think you're Israel. Your name is Dewey Lachman. You own the Lachman Foundation. You own the New American Standard. You have the printing rights to the American Standard. And you believe that God's done with Israel and now it's all about you as replacement Israel.
Yeah.
Maybe you have a predilection not to stigmatize the law because you think it's yours.
Uh-huh.
Now that's just me voicing an opinion. But I'll tell you something. Words mean things.
Yes, they
and
do.
These changes do not happen in a vacuum. They are discussed, debated, argued, voted upon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I thought they just sat down with the original manuscripts and did the best they could.
They don't have any originals.
<They don't. laughs>
And no, they have a predilection.
Yes, they do.
In putting ourselves under the law, since Christ is the end of the law for righteousness' sake, I'm then putting myself under the law means I'm kind of putting an end to Christ. You see, Romans 10 verse 4 is irrelevant if I'm a tither. Christ is the end of the law. Except for my church, we still keep several of them. Then, by doing so, what are you saying about Christ being the end of the law? You're not good with that.
No,
right.
So, again, the issue should be the law. It should not be slavery. And we need to see the two points presented. One of them is a positive and the other a negative. Standing fast, that's something to do. I can do that. Nail my shoes to the floor. Get me the super glue. Stand fast. Do you realize when you learn the material, standing fast doesn't require a great deal of energy? You just stand fast.
Right.
If, however, you go back under the bondage of the law, you fail and be not entangled again. That would be vacating my standing fast position.
Yes.
If Christ did everything necessary for my soul's salvation and I stand fast, then I have followed my admonition here. If
I think, well, yeah, Christ did everything necessary for my soul's salvation, but to keep my soul saved, then I'd better live right.
Yeah.
I better do this, I better do that, I better be baptized, I better go to church. I'm not standing where I was. I'm no longer standing fast.
That's right.
I become entangled again with that which is weak and beggarly. The verses I love to use, and you have them here in your outline, are in Colossians chapter 2. And the beauty of Colossians, of course, along with Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians, is the clarity that you get without Israel being present. But in Colossians, in chapter 2, we see in verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink meat. Seventh day Adventist got a diet.
Mm-hmm.
Or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or new moon, or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. So I've got are. That's me now. They were a shadow of, like Pentecost, things to come. So they really took place back there in Exodus and Leviticus. They were a shadow. What is the are part now? These things are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Verse 17. I love that because it puts the three things in place. What it are now, what it had been, picturing things to come. The things to come, they're not now. Those things, they're not now. What is now?
Right.
Christ. I love that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stand fast right there.
Amen.
And I'm not going to become entangled again with the yoke of bondage, the bondage of the law. If you turn to Deuteronomy, I won't bother you with the Ten Commandments and call you liars and hypocrites because you do covet things.
Oh, yeah.
And I won't put you in a position to have you say,
I don't either.
Yeah, right. The next ad you see on TV, and you say, honey, I got to get one of those. That's called coveting. That's why they run ads to make you covet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Nobody knew they had yellow teeth, so that's it. You wonder where the yellow went.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you mean that can go away? I covet that. Deuteronomy chapter 22, thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray, and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt in any case bring them in unto thy brother. You see dogs and cats in the neighborhood, you can either run them or not. And if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know him not, then thou shalt bring him to thine own house, and he shall be with thee till thy brother seek after it. So there's instructions you've never paid any attention to one day of your life. Verse 5, a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Oh, don't the legalistic Baptists get all over that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. So somebody decides that wearing trousers, that's men's attire, and so it's an abomination, and that's been preached, oh my, for a long, long time, haven't it? Interesting thing that in the same scripture passage, you've got the concept of not wearing a garment with mixed fabrics, and the preacher who picks on the woman for verse 5 disregards his instructions about wearing a garment of mixed fabrics. Notice in verse 11, thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts.
Yep.
So the preacher who beats up the women with Deuteronomy chapter 22 verse 5 is wearing Fruit of the Looms that are a cotton polyester blend.
Mm. Yeah.
With an elastic rubber waistband.
Hopefully.
Oh
Or someone will pray, God forgive us our falling short. We need the elastic waistband. My point is, no one really intends to keep the law. And they lie about it, saying they're keeping the commandments and that kind of business. And the preachers put them under the law with the tithe, which I think is reprehensible. Not for money, but for making them susceptible to a curse of Malachi chapter 3, verse 9.
Yeah.
So we're not to be entangled with that business. Some folks in the grace movement have taken that too far.
Yes.
And rather than being level-headed and crucified with Christ and doing all they do for the glory of God, they take their liberty as an occasion of license, whereby then they act in licentious and lazy and lustful manners. Looking for L words. So, we're wrong to be lawless, but I don't trust it for anything.
Exactly.
I'm not a candidate to break a bunch of laws, Israel's or anybody else's. God in Christ would have me to be crucified with Christ. And so it's no longer about me, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, establish that fact. It's about Him, and I choose not, Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, to frustrate the grace of God. God's grace. Paul asks the question, Romans chapter 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Next two words, God forbid. So, no, don't continue in sin that grace may abound. We've got a mentality today where preachers and teachers are trying to condescend to an audience largely of brute beasts, saved folks headed for hell. So the preachers, now they wear their cutoffs into the pulpits and their golf shoes, and they're just trying to be real people.
Yeah.
Instead of lowering the pulpit down, how about raising the people up?
Amen.
How about showing them opportunity in a more excellent way rather than dumbing down and democratizing the pulpit? It's a theocracy, people. God's right, you're wrong. Let's get over it. So, my view is to the right of Attila the Hun. Paul's not promoting anarchy. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, he makes a statement, let all things be done decently and in order, having told the tongue speakers to take turns, which never happens.
No.
Having told the tongue speakers for the ladies to be silent.
Yeah.
Having told the tongue speakers that there needs to be interpretation.
Yes.
Is that chapter in anybody's Bible but mine? You have to wonder sometimes, don't you? Paul is not promoting anarchy, and he's not committed to antinomianism. Antinomianism is lawlessness. The concept being, well, I'm going to heaven. Doesn't matter what I do. Paul says, Paul, my apostle, having already met with the Lord Jesus Christ, says in Acts chapter 25, verse 10, then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged.
Yes.
That's a verse disregarded by the tax cheats hiding in bunkers in Montana.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Eating their Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat.
Yes.
Paul says, really, answering? The only time Paul tells you where to give your money, you know, he doesn't tell you to give it to the church or to the preacher. He says, you purpose that in your own heart.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The only time Paul tells you where to put your money is to pay your taxes. Another concept flies over the top of folks' head.
Yeah.
And Paul said, if where I ought to be judged, verse 10, to the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. But, for if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I endorse capital punishment on myself.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
See it?
Yep.
Whoa! This is the man to whom the Lord Jesus Christ came.
Yes.
Gave the mystery. Gave stand fast in liberty.
Yep.
And he answers,
yep.
Caesar? Now, Christians don't like to hear this kind of stuff because they like to pick which laws are going to be.
And
I love these folks that are making America a better place by not paying their taxes.
Yeah.
Of course, they don't tell anybody that they're doing that, and they don't have a driver's license, and they don't have a social security. They're hiding from everything and everybody. Great testimony there. Well, I had too many personal run-ins with these people.
Yeah.
And they're scary. They were willing to jeopardize their family to have a bigger paycheck. Well, Paul's not promoting that.
No.
In Acts chapter 25, Paul's dealing with the powers that be and saying, I'll answer to them.
Yeah.
A lot of folks aren't interested in doing that. When folks aren't interested in doing that, what verse of the Bible do they quote? Better to serve God than man, which is located in Acts 4. That's not Pauline. That's not Revelation of the Mystery material. That's kingdom. God's the king. I'm not going to do what a man says. Mm-hmm. God's got the rod of iron. So you can't just pick a verse from anywhere because you don't want to pay your taxes. Too late. People don't want to pay their taxes. They've already picked their verses.
Oh, yeah.
They've already bought their shotguns. And they're already in Montana. Galatians chapter 5, verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you. The I, Paul, you know, that's significant because he was the one that got them started, as we saw in Galatians chapter 1. I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. The significance of that verse, as I read it, is to be very careful about what people are trusting for their soul salvation. If circumcision is an issue, why wouldn't baptism be an issue? If baptism would be an issue, why wouldn't tithing? Why wouldn't whatever it is? Romans 10, 9, and 10, same words. If Christ is the source of profit, then we don't need you, me, or anybody else. Trust what he did. So if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. The prophet in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, is that propitiatory sacrifice. Propitiation means he took my place.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If he took my place, how can I help him? I wouldn't be in my place if I helped him. He took my place. Can't be two places at once. That works, doesn't it? So since he took my place, that's where I am, in my place. I'm the sinner for whom he died. I've trusted his payment for my soul's salvation.
That's right.
Then these people in Galatia no doubt were circumcised Hebrews, and no doubt they absolutely understood the impact, the importance. When you read your Bible, respect the people in your Bible had such understanding of Scripture.
Yes.
The reason you've got all those cross references is because they're referring to them.
Yes.
When I taught Luke, I was stunned. The image you get of Mary is this sweet little doe-eyed girl. You read what she said, there's over 30 Old Testament cross references to what that little girl said.
Yeah.
Ooh, how'd she know all that? She stuck. She was not the little waif, the little hairhead, and she knew the book.
Yes, she did.
These Galatian people have to know Genesis chapter 17 and verse 14 that if you don't have your circumcision, that you're cut off. Cut off, that's stout, you know. Mm-hmm. Circumcision is a cutting off. If you don't do it, you're cut off.
That's right.
So, Here comes Paul, and he's later going to say in Galatians chapter 6, Christ, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. I adhere to my King James Bible, as you well know, but I read that verse, and I can't help but think, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor baptism, nor tithing, nor nothing avails anything. If it's not Christ, you don't have anything. Circumcision, the law, your Aunt Nellie, anything that you trust other than the Lord Jesus Christ is one thing too many. When you're trusting one thing too many, what happens to grace? Slips right through your fingers.
Yes.
You're falling from grace. It's not that you were saved and lost it, Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, but the grace teaching was there and you've fallen away from it. You disregarded it.
Yes.
If violation of one point of law makes you subject to having violated all points of law, and that's exactly what James says in James chapter 2 and verse 10.
Yes.
Then I'm glad it's Christ.
Amen.
And I'm not going to trust the keeping of even so much as one point of law.
That's right.
I loved what J. Vernon McGee said in his commentary on page 184, volume 5. He said, quote, if you trust anything other than Christ, then you're not a Christian.
Amen. Well said.
Now, in my life experience, I've had several occasions dealing with people who call themselves Christians to ask the question, how does a person become a Christian? What makes a person a Christian? Now I get to shut up and I get to listen. When they're done talking, they hung themselves out to dry on every clothesline in the house. It makes it easy to present Christ when they get done. Because generally, they lack confidence, so they try to cover all the bases. Yeah. They put it all out there.
Yeah.
And you, just like when you were a kid at a carnival with all those ducks, you go bang, 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 and all those ducks flop over, and you leave them with nothing but Christ and Him crucified.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 2. Lewis Berry Chafer said that were Christ to commend him personally for founding Dallas Theological Seminary, and Chafer in his five-volume systematic is a long list of things that Christ is commending for, that Chafer would respond, that's well and good, but I never trusted anything I ever did for my salvation, only you, Lord. There's a tendency for us to evaluate ourselves based on ourselves and other people that we know, judging ourselves by ourselves and not why. Sinless perfection is the measure, and He died for your sins. You don't measure up. So in Galatians chapter 5, verse 3, then, Paul repeats himself. I testify again that every man that is circumcised. He'd already said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10 that if you're under the works of the law, you're under a curse. Mm-hmm. So Paul had made the point. Paul is re-emphasizing the point that he has made. And these are circumcised people of Israel who knew better because Paul had told them. And now they've been recidivistic and they're going back to the weakened beggarly, as Paul defines it in Galatians chapter 4, verse 10. They're going back to the bondage of the law. It's so off-putting to the Methodist, to the Wesleyan holiness people.
Yeah.
When you say that you're not under the law, they think, well, you can shoot somebody if they're going to heaven. If I'm crucified with Christ, I'm not going to shoot somebody.
That's right.
I'm walking in newness of life, so I'm not a candidate for your hypothetical example. Therefore, I'm going to do what Brother McLean has said so many times. I'm not going to allow the ignorant party to define the terms of the argument because those are not my only two choices.
Yes.
Have a nice day. Mm-hmm. When people have the idea that they're trying to keep the Ten Commandments, a lot of Christians are awful that way.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to have the money and the hard work and energy of all the lawyers and all the people that have been involved in keeping the Ten Commandments in libraries and courthouses and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we spent a lot of time and energy and money.
Oh, yes.
Doing that. I'd be more interested if you wanted to keep in the courthouse and the marketplace of ideas Christ died for your sins.
Yes.
Than the law that you couldn't keep on your best day. The law is the schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. Oh, well then let's put that on the courthouse law.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't do that.
You're making my point.
Exactly.
We get all caught up in commandment keeping. Doing the best I can.
Yeah.
Commandment keeping, tithing, holy day observances run rampant through Christianity.
Yeah.
What's Paul saying about people with that mindset?
Afraid of them.
He's afraid of them. You're not honoring Christ.
That's right.
Wow. So it's hard for the Wesleyan Methodists and some of these people to get a hold of that. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, this verse, a favorite verse of Arminianism. Christ had become of no effect on you, whosoever justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. The point of the verse is, if you're trusting law justification, you don't have a part, you're fallen from, you're separated from, you're not associated with grace. It's a pretty good McNugget, I think, that falling from grace is a doctrine of the holiness movement. They believe it. We practice it. We fall from grace teachings. I get an email from a mid-Acts Pauline dispensational. Well, he's actually an Acts 28er down in Tennessee, Brother Atwood, and the first two words are Merry Christmas. You don't know me at all.
Right?
Not at all. And all you've done is stand in your pulpit and tell people lies about Jesus' birthday and, you know, good night, grow up.
Yes.
Something's always perplexed me. The fastest growing outfit in Christendom is Mormonism.
Yes.
Let's see. Stringent about dress. Stringent about language. Stringent about diet. 2 years as a missionary. Hard work.
Yeah.
Riding a bicycle.
Yeah.
2 years. Glenn Beck had the guide on that made plastic extrusions. He made the McNugget box and he made the egg box. He's a millionaire all these times over. His daughter's doing her mission.
Yeah.
A little 2 years missionary. Glenn Beck's had it on 3 times, so I'm assuming there's some financial support that's been afforded. Hard work.
Yes.
Narrow lifestyle. Fastest growing. Christianity says, oh, you don't want to make them do anything. Oh, you want to fit in. Oh, they like rock, we'll like rock. They like jazz, we'll like jazz.
Yeah.
We compromise everything.
Everything.
And we're losing. They're way wrong. They don't compromise about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're growing. When's somebody going to figure that out? I don't think young people are afraid.
No.
I don't think young people are necessarily lazy. I've met a few, but you can challenge them and treat them like adults, and they generally respond.
Yes.
Mormons figure that out.
Well, we take them skating and give them pizza. Archer.
See the difference in approach?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which one's working? Well, neither one. Yeah, one's taken to the wrong place and one's got the right stuff. But, well, the word that should have gotten our attention back in verse 2 is that Christ your prophet do nothing.
Yeah.
If I'm trusting anything other than my Savior, then I'm not simply trusting my Savior. I'm not standing fast in salvation by grace through faith. And anything we trust that doesn't look like Calvary's cross, the death, burial, and resurrection, then Jesus wastes his time taking the cross.
Yes.
That's a startling statement. If you can repent and be baptized, you get saved. He didn't need to die for you.
That's right.
He'll be doing it about what you do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's right.
He wastes, what's he doing on the cross?
Yeah.
He could have just floated up through the clouds and said, go be baptized. So it's important to see. And notice also in the passage where we are, we, verse 1, stand. Verse 4, fall. And we see in Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, we stand in grace. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, we fall from it. It has to do with your belief system. I said, every once in a while, I'll say something on my radio broadcast. You know, I get going. I have not notes, but I've got a skeleton. I've got some ideas in my head. I've been ruminating. And I'll just blurt something out, and it'll be the first time I heard it, too. There's times when you rewind the tape and start over. In fact, I did one program last week. It took 9 tries. It gets long.
Yeah.
But one time I was just gathering along, I said, you won't go to hell because of your sins. You'll go to hell because you didn't cross Christ payment for your sins. All the sin.
That's right.
By one man's sin entered, death by sin, death passed upon all men, all sin, I'm short of the glory of God. You're all going to die. You've all sinned. You're not going to go to hell because of that. You're going to go to hell because you did not trust God's payment for your sins.
Exactly. That's good.
I just heard myself say that, and I thought, that's an attention getter.
Yes.
People think they're going to go to hell because they're bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If they're a little more good than they've been bad, then God let them in. You know, that kind of thing. And I tell them, it's not your good, it's not your bad, it doesn't matter. You're going to go to hell regardless, unless you trust Christ. Yeah. I heard myself say that, and I thought, you're going to have to say that a few more times.
Yes.
Get better at it and get more adept. Now, it's an interesting thing that I give you in the notes about Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, that our King James Bible says, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace.
Yeah.
The New American Standard says, you have been severed from Christ. That then would seem to mean that you were once attached to him and have now been severed from him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the concept of losing your salvation, having been saved. So that word severed makes you cut away from Christ, not from grace. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
The ASV of 1901 says severed. The RSV of 1946 says severed. The Phillips of 1958 says cut yourself off. And the New English Bible of 1961 says completely severed. Lightfoot, Alfred, Meyer, Ellicott, Rendell, F.B. Meyer, they all say severed. Every Bible produced since 1880 contains no fewer than 5,000 of the potential pool of 30,000 alterations which are available when you compare the Westcott Hort text with your King James Bible text. Mm-hmm. Westcott Hort Vaticanus Sinaiticus differs in more than actually 30,000 places. Every new translation accepts no fewer than 5,000 of those changes. The New American Standard is closer to all 30,000.
Yeah.
There are differences in advantage. We'll be talking about that as we go along, dealing with the 400th anniversary of our authorized Bible. We'll conclude then, having recognized the difference between standing and falling, and encourage ourselves with Romans chapter 8.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 8 deals with service. Romans chapter 8, in Romans 6 you're dead, in Romans 7 you're free from the law, in Romans 5 you've been justified, in Romans 4 you understand propitiation, in Romans 8 no condemnation, verse 1. So then you try to serve the Lord and you're not doing as well as you know you ought to. You're not condemned. To encourage you to do better. They're not going to lower the bar are for your sake, but condemnation's past.
Amen.
So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. One thing about verse 35 of Romans chapter 8. Does not verse 35 indicate that the believer in Christ may suffer some of those things?
Yes.
That would mean then that Benny Hinn's wrong?
Amen.
Verse 36 says, it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Where am I? In Christ Jesus, our Lord. No condemnation on me, because I'm in him. Mm-hmm. My job isn't to bring him down to my level. My job is to learn where he's put me in Christ Jesus and walk appropriately. We'll stop there. And Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.